Okay, this is a Parak Daled, Hilchos Chol Hamazik. So now we're going to take up cases of different individuals getting injured and different ways to assess the obligation to pay. Halacha Aleph, no gives the isha b'yatzi l'adeas. Let's say a person attacks a woman who is pregnant and she miscarries. Even though his intention wasn't to hurt her, chayav shalom dmei vados l'baal. He must pay the value of the fetus to the husband, the nezek tzar isha, as well as damages and pain caused to the woman. Halacha beis haketzad misharim dmei vados. How do we assess the value of the miscarried fetus? Shemnes isha kamaisa yofa ashelo yalta v'kami yofa mishyalta. So basically, you evaluate how much she was worth before she gave birth and how much afterwards. But no son of baal, you give that difference to the husband. In mes baal, no son yoshev. If the husband dies or is dead, you give it to the inheritors. In nagfa achar misas baal. But let's say she gets hit. This injury happens to her after her husband dies. Atme vados isha, even the amount of money that's assessed for the fetus goes to her. Ger. Let's say she's what do you call it, married to a convert, and the chavala ger. And let's say what do you call it, he injures she at this again the initial injury. He injures Reuven injures the ger's wife when she's pregnant. While the ger is still alive, no sin of the dmei vados l'baal. So the amounts of the value of the fetus goes to the husband. Mesa ger pater. However, if the ger died, then he's pater from paying. Bim chavavah achar misas a ger. But if he injured her after the ger passed away, zakoski b'dmei vados. So she ends up, excuse me, she ends up getting the money of the value of the fetus. Haisa shivcha goya b'shas. Let's say the woman was a non-Jewish maidservant, or she was non-Jewish at the time that she was became pregnant. It was shas negifa nishtakra niskara. But when she was injured, that's when she was freed, or she converted. Haray dmei vados shelah, she gets to keep the money of the value of the fetus. Lachayin hakoves hashitza. Now let's say a guy, Reuven hits a woman. She miscarries and she dies. Afi shahayashogeg, even if it was done accidentally, haray zepatamim tashlumim. So that's the key. He doesn't have to pay anything financially. Why? Because there's lo yason v'lo yason anosh yanesh. Lo chalak v'kasav and shol v'meizav v'davar sheish v'misas v'ezav v'pachim v'tashumim. So since this is a case that's going to go to potential capital punishment, that's why in such an instance we don't resort back to financial penalties, regardless if it was done intentionally or purposely. Lachavav and d'var morim when it's supplied by niskav and isha. It only applies when he intended to hurt her. In niskav and chaveru, let's say he wants to hit his friend, but not gav isha, but he ended up hitting the woman. Avi Shem Mesa, even if she died, Hova Misa Blokavana, since this was a death that was unintentional, like manslaughter, Arizek Gedavra Shema Misa's Bathen, therefore it's like something that won't go up for capital punishment at court, and therefore, Vlados, he's responsible to pay for the value of the fetus. Okay, switching gears. Let's say someone hits his mother or father, will also pay Kumbura, and he doesn't actually draw any blood, Chai Vakamish Advarim, so he's got to pay the five Nezitzar, Ripoy, Shevis, and Boshas. But if he did draw blood, or let's say he hurt his friend on Shabbos, even if it's done accidentally, why is he pater from the financial issue of Mises Bezdin? Because this is something subject to capital punishment. So just because the guy did it unintentionally, that doesn't mean that now it kicks into the financial realm. It's still something that is a potential capital punishment case. One second. Why can't someone say, isn't the person who causes damage to someone else doing something destructive? We know if you do destructive things on Shabbos, you're exempt from capital punishment. Why would I ever think that hurting someone else would ever get me capital punishment? Right? Because the reason is that when a person goes ahead and hits someone else, he's satisfying his evil inclination. Harehu k'misakin, therefore it's like he's fixing it. Nimsa abamisa, therefore he's liable for possibly getting killed. Therefore, if he got pater mitashlumin, that's why he's exempt from financial payments. Let's say a person injures his fellow Jew on Yom Kippur. I feel amazing, even purposely. Chai mitashlumin, he has to pay financial restitution. Afish avaravera, even if he violated a sin, shu chayav alei amakos, if he be chayav in lashes. Lo kol mukhuy amakos with tashlumin loke. One second, isn't someone who, normally speaking, obligated in both Malchus, lashes, and financial penalties get lashes. Ben HaMashalim, it doesn't pay. She never look at HaMashalim because you never get both. Kachim Dvarim B'chol Chutz, B'chol, this applies to everything, Chutz Mechol B'chaber, except for this for damaging your friend. Shumasham that he pays. Shereperish rabsa Torah chol v'chaver tashlumen. Because the Torah really goes out of its way to say, in a case of damages, you make financial restitution. Because it says, Rak shito yiten rabo yarpe. That double language implies that this is the only method of going ahead and dealing with these cases of damage. Halacha yud. Okay, if you injure, achol be'evet kanani, shlo pater. If I injure my non-Jewish servant, I'm pater, achol be'evet ivri, shlo chai v'kulon, chutz v'neshevetz. However, if I hurt my Jewish servant, so then I'm obligated in all four of the five. I will not have to pay for wages lost. So let's say I injure my friend's non-Jewish servants. So then the owner of the servant gets all the five financial restitutions. Even if he injured him, caused him pain with a poison, and he got cured immediately. Nonetheless, the medical costs go to the owner of this non-Jewish servant. So let's say a servant is freed, but he didn't quite get the contract that says that he's free. There's no fine. And those who injure him are not able to get money from him for him to get paid. Since he's not yet freed. However, the owner, his previous owner, can't collect the money because he doesn't own him. Because he doesn't really have possession over him. Therefore, if the owner knocks out the tooth of his servants, and then he goes ahead and makes him go blind, right? So then he pays, he's free because of the tooth. There knows no domain of it, doesn't have to pay him for the eye. Being tapas. However, if the servant took the money that he thinks is owed them, we let him keep it. If somebody is of a servant half free and half still a servant, so let's say such a person was embarrassed by somebody else or caused pain or was gored by an ox, etc. So if this took place on the day that he's supposed to work for his master, then the master gets a payment. If it takes place on the day where he was not supposed to work for his master, so then he doesn't get the, he doesn't, what do you call it, he gets the payment. So if I injure my friends, my fellow Jews, Jewish servants, I have to pay all five things. The yilkach b'hem karka. So what do you call it? I buy land with the money. The rabba ochal piroseya, and the owner can go ahead and eat its produce. And when this servant goes free, teitzei sada mitachas yedei rabba, then the field goes out of the ownership of the former owner. Iziko hezek she'inam akim malacha klal. Let's say he ended up damaging him in a way where it won't cause him to not work well. Kigon shekata rosh ozdan, like he cut off the tip of his ear, a rosh chotan of his nose. So that all goes to the servant, and the owner does not get any benefit whatsoever. Let's say a person injures, what do you call it, his friend's daughter, what do you call it, who is underneath the age of 12. Right. So if the injury reduces the, what do you call it, the amount, the value the father would have gotten, what do you call it, had he married her off, and that money goes to the so too, the unemployment, that's the wages lost based on her not being able to work, they go to him, as well as the money for selling her off if she wasn't going to be a servant. About Sar, Boshes Repoy, when it comes to pain and embarrassment and medical costs, right, these go to the girl herself. So too, any damage does not reduce the money that he would get for consecrating her, so she gets it. So too, someone injures his own daughter, he must pay for the pain, the medical costs, and the embarrassment that she suffered. So too, someone injures a married woman, so the wages lost and the medical costs go to the husband, but she keeps the pain cost, the pain restitution. When it comes to the shame and the embarrassment and the damages, so let's say, what it called, you can definitely see the injury. So for instance, let's say you injured on her face, you can clearly see where the injury is. So a shlish shalah, third goes to her, shlish shalah, the baal, and the other two thirds go to the husband. Then the seser who, hanezek, but let's say the damages are hidden from view, ha shlish shalah, a third goes to the owner, shlish shalah, the isha, and two thirds to the wife. Shabal nosul lo miyad, to the husband, you give immediately, vishal ishin, you lock off behind karka, and for the woman, you, what it called, You take the money and buy land. The baal ocher peiros, and the husband gets the profits. This applies when other people injure her. Let's say a husband injures his wife. He has to pay her immediately, damages, pain, and all embarrassment. She keeps it all. And the husband gets nothing out of it. She wants to give the money to someone else, she can. Because this is how the going in Paskin. And the husband must pay for her medical expenses, like we normally have to pay for her medical expenses. But if a husband injures his wife in the middle due to having sexual intercourse, then he is chayav in damages. Let's say a woman injures her husband. So let's say there's an additional amount in her ksuba. So now she must sell that additional amount to her husband. With the condition that he desires it. But let's say he wants to go ahead and divorce her. He can collect the damages from the entire sum of the ktuba. But let's say there was not an additional amount in the ktuba. She can't sell the rights of the ktuba. Because a man cannot be with a woman for even 1 hour without a ktuba. So, because we won't want it to be where it is something simple for her to go ahead and leave. If the baal wants, the husband wants to, he can write a separate contract, separate promissory note about the damages, about the money owed for damages, of a garsha, or he divorces over, and takes from the ksuba, which is owed to him. Let's say a person injures his sons that are older, if they're older, in smuchin al shulchano, and they don't rely on him for financial support, no son yada gives them immediately. If they're minors, they should go ahead and purchase land from the damage, for the money they get for damages, and open perosa, and they get the benefits. This applies also for others who injure them. If they do rely on their father for support, the chavavahen injures them. Pater, whether they're older or younger. But let's say others injure them. If they're over the age of 13, you give them immediately. But if they're minors, you buy them land. They benefit from the produce there actually until they get older. Having a negative encounter with someone who's a deaf mute, a mentally incompetent, or a minor, it's not a good situation. Why? Because if I injure them, I'm chayev. But if they injure others, they're pater. Even if the situations of the charesh of the katan change, for instance, the shota becomes mentally competent, they still will not be chayev to pay. Because at the time of the injury, that they cause injury, they're not considered to be mentally competent. So too, negative encounters with servants and married women are not good. Why? Because a chol and chayev, if I injure one of them, I'm on the hook for the financial restitution. But if if they injure someone else, they don't have to pay immediately. Rather, they pay over time. In this for instance, the woman's divorced or the husband dies or the servant's free, right? Sharei b'nei de'ahein, because they are mentally competent. And they're considered owing a debt. They're considered to have a debt which they can't pay yet, but they're held on the hook for it. And when they get more money, they have to pay. So the servant of a person's like his own person and his animal like his property. Let's say a person put a burning piece of coal on the chest of his friend's servant. And he dies, or shadachol liyam or laish, or let's say he pushed him into the sea or into fire. And he could have gotten out of the sea or the fire, but he didn't. And he died. He's off the hook of paying financial restitution. He did the same thing to his friend's animal. Chayiv is obligated. It's as if he put the coal on his friend's clothing. Then it's parak dal, and we will continue with parak hay next time.